It's not very often that we have so many people here that I get to preach from the pulpit. So thank you all for coming tonight, and may God bless you as you think about that tiny babe as well. Come, let us go to the mountain of the Lord, that he may teach us his ways and that we may walk in his paths. Amen. Each winter, we hear the story of Christmas in our churches. It is a story of love, a tale of relationships. There are villains like this guy on the screen and good folks, emperors and shepherds, and a swirl of events mixes together to relate the account of how God entered the lives, our lives, in a personal and intimate way. The chapter opens with a decree from Augustus, Emperor of Rome. Luke is careful in his gospel to place names and dates there to remind us that these events really happened, though we must be careful because Luke was not always accurate in the rendering of his details. The Bible is a divine revelation, but it is also a human product and sometimes has some human limitations. Just as Jesus is the Son of God who took on flesh to share in our nature and lot, who is both divine and human for us. Jesus is the Word of God who became flesh and lived among us, full of grace and truth. So the winds of history push the events of this account along. And there are few, if any, credible scholars who doubt the historicity of the person named Jesus. He may not have been born at this place, at the Church of the Nativity. It might have been someplace else near Bethlehem, but he was there. And Joseph, his father, makes the trek from Nazareth, a real place that you also may visit today in Galilee, in the north of a country, south to Bethlehem, another real place, this time in Judea. Along with him is Mary, his wife, who is soon to be the mother of Jesus. In the first century, that trip would have taken a number of days. Today, that journey just takes a couple of hours. So depending upon delays at checkpoints between Israel and the Palestinian territories, it might just take you 2 or 3 hours to go from the one to the other. Well, Nazareth, you see, is in Israel, but Bethlehem is in the Palestinian territories, and the two places don't get along so well. Unfortunately, the hand of bureaucracy is just as heavy upon the residents of that place today as it was when the Holy Family made the trip. When the time came for her delivery, Mary had a nice private spot for her labor, as well as a clean stone manger in which to lay him. The Lutheran Palestinians of Bethlehem tell about the gracious hospitality of the innkeeper that night. Seeing that the inn was full and crowded with travelers, the innkeeper offered better and more secluded accommodations. Many first people in Bethlehem lived in caves, the family in one part of the cave and the livestock separate, but right next to them shared the same cave, much as northern Europeans might have done some time ago as well. The cave would have been warm in the winter and cool in the summer, and so much more private than the jostling in the crowded inn. A couple of years ago, as Bethlehem Lutheran Church was preparing the foundation for a new addition to their church, they found this cave that we see pictured on the screen. And you'll see that it kind of looks like a place, and it is a home from the first century. And this depression just off to the left side there is probably the manger for that particular home. The Lutherans of Bethlehem celebrate the manger as an act of hospitality rather than second-rate accommodations. Luke's main point is the announcement of the angel. The messenger, and remember, an angel is nothing more than a messenger. That's what the word means in the Greek, angelos, messenger. The messenger from the Lord who declared to the shepherds, "Fear not, for behold, I bring you glad tidings of great joy for all people. Messiah, a Christ, one to whom we pledge allegiance, to whom we bow." The glad tidings are nothing less than the good news of the gospel, that Christ is born for us, The glad tidings are to put us on notice that we no longer have to worry about the heavy-handedness of emperors or presidents, for there is one greater than those mere mortals like Caesar Augustus who play international power games. Our Christ has come to substitute great joy in place of tax bills and census-taking. The little babe born in a cave and sleeping in clean hay next to a family of sheep is the sign that the mighty will not always sit upon their thrones, but one day will be deposed to bow low to the one who is truly the world, not only of this world, but of the whole universe. This little babe come in the manger is the harbinger of peace on earth and goodwill toward all. So the shepherds took off to see for themselves what a true governor looked like, and they found what they had been told: a mother and a father and a tiny newborn in a rustic manger carved from stone, back of the local inn, away from the crowds, far from the press of deadlines, expectations, fiats. It was exactly as had been told them, and yet so different than they had expected. This was not a king bedecked in jewels, finery, and grandeur, but a helpless babe, less than a day old, wrapped in torn strips of cloth to keep away the cold. God does that. God takes our expectations and flips them on us. We think we know what we're looking for, but when we see the things of God, they don't meet our expectations. So we think we haven't seen God at all. Yet there they are, right in front of our eyes. We look for a great and powerful deity, but instead, God comes as a helpless waif. We look for conclusive evidence, but instead we get conjecture and contradiction and argument. We look for certainty, and yet what we have come to know is set in mystery. The shepherds saw with eyes of trust, with the perceptions of faith. They heard the good news, and they went looking for that tiny baby, and that is what they found. They were the first evangelists, too. The shepherds did not keep the glad tidings to themselves, but spread their praises to God all throughout Bethlehem, amazing everyone who heard it, including Mary, the baby's mother, who took all this in and took it into her heart. And what is this good news? What are these glad tidings? That God still interacts with this world. Not to make everything the way we want it. That would make ourselves into a god, and a false god at that. But rather, God still acts to turn the expectations of the world on its head, to turn messengers into angels, to turn a young woman into the mother of God, to guide a family's journey from obedience to Caesar to trust in God, to wean us off the sentimentality of Christmas, that we might drink deeply of faith active in love, that we might be transformed by this little babe who comes to bring us peace and joy and love and life tonight and always. Amen. All the paths of our Redeemer are steadfast love and faithfulness. Amen.